This evening we turn to Paul's letter to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Odius, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I call your attention this evening to Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We consider this text this evening an application of the confession that we made in partaking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this morning, namely, that I belong to Jesus Christ by the purchase of his precious blood. I belong to him. Do you understand what that means? Do you live in the consciousness of being one with him who purchased you with his precious blood? Do you live in the knowledge of the sufficiency of his power to abide with you, to sustain you, to give you strength in the various trials you face, as well as the callings that he has given you? The immediate context is the apostle's own testimony of having learned contentment. Note well, he had to learn that. So do you and I. But he learned by looking to his Savior and to Christ's faithfulness to him in every circumstance. You remember that many of the circumstances that Paul faced were most difficult. If you need a reminder, a good summary is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Take note of that chapter and read it later. And then continue into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where you find that the apostle also had to live with a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, to knock him around. That's the background of the words that we consider tonight, the powerful application of belonging to Christ being purchased with his precious blood. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I call your attention to those words under the theme, able to do all. I would have you notice that we have here, first of all, a bold confession. Secondly, an inexhaustible source, and finally, a blessed experience. I find in the words of this text an almost unbelievably bold confession on the part of the apostle. Take the first words of the text alone, I can do all things, and it would be a man's expression of stupendous arrogance. Not unlike the promises of a politician or the attitude of a Nebuchadnezzar. Look at this great kingdom that I have built by my power and to the glory of my name just before God smote him with the mind of a beast. But the inspired apostle doesn't merely say, I can do all things. Rather, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He speaks of ability. Ability which Scripture clearly teaches man does not have. But he speaks of that ability as encompassing all things. That too adds to the astounding nature of this bold confession. It's one thing to say, I can do. We might stand before a particular challenge and say to ourselves, I can do it. It's quite another to say, I can do all things. So we have to examine this reference to all things. What is the apostle thinking of here? All things certainly means all things. It refers to a totality of things, but the totality to which the apostle refers must be determined by the context. After all, if you take that expression, all things, without limitation, Paul would claim to be God. He would then claim omnipotence for himself, referring to himself as almighty. And that interpretation, I think you realize, would have horrified the apostle himself. Lest we fall into similar error by just taking the word all superficially and out of its context, we have to examine it closely. Because always in the Bible, the word all has to be understood and limited by the context in which that term is used. Failure to do that has resulted in a multitude of sins in the misinterpretation of Holy Scripture. That's why, for example, you have people teaching in error that Christ died for every person, head for head, that God loves every person who ever set foot on his earth. When we examine the context here, we find several limiting factors. For one thing, the text is limited to things that belong to this earthly realm. Paul is speaking of his earthly life. I can do all things that belong to my earthly sphere of life. But we have to limit the expression further. The apostle's not referring to things that belong to natural and cultivated abilities, but to things that are part of his life as a Christian. He doesn't mean to say, I have all the abilities, all the gifts and talents, as that neurosurgeon that has to remove that brain tumor from that patient in room 424. He's not claiming to be a Superman who has the abilities of a multitude of worldly experts and who can do extraordinary things. Paul had a specific calling. And we must define these all things as referring to his own particular calling as an apostle, but also more generally as a Christian. And then we shall see how this text applies to us. But when we study the context, then we see that we have to limit the phrase still more. The apostle had been speaking of things definite. And specifically, he had been speaking about his way, of the various states of his Christian sojourn. He had been speaking of his state of being humbled, of abounding, of abundance and hunger, and so on. We might go through various states in our lives. The apostle had learned in whatsoever state he was therewith to be content. Those various stages in his way were the things in his mind as he wrote these words. And he was still thinking about those things as he wrote these words, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So that expression, all things, has to be limited to that thought. So that with reference to ability, the apostle means here, as I stand in Christ, I can do all things that belong to my calling in his service. Wherever God sends me, whether I must bear the heat of summer or the cold of winter, whether I am humbled or thriving, whether in abundance or hungry, whatever may be the circumstances surrounding me, I can do all things pertaining to the calling that God has given me as my life in Christ gives me that strength. Whether my circumstances are in harmony with my own desires or totally contrary to them, in all circumstances, I am able to carry out my calling. It's plain that the apostle is not speaking of a natural ability. He's not speaking of a natural ability to do whatever he wants, even though he be hungry or lacking sleep or sick or whatever. And it's plain that the reference is not to natural ability because he confesses that he can do all things through Christ. The power that we receive from Christ does not add to our natural powers, our natural gifts given us by God. God has given different gifts to different men and women. One man might be a brilliant numbers cruncher, able to do outstanding work in the field of statistics or accounting or economic forecasting or financial planning. Another might have excellent hands and a mechanical aptitude so that he's able to serve well as an auto mechanic or a plumber or an electrician. Another man may have been given by God a diagnostic mind and the ability to memorize and to understand chemistry and the human anatomy, and therefore to work as a physician or a dentist or a nurse. But the power that we receive from Christ doesn't add to those natural abilities, so-called. The power that we receive from Christ is a spiritual power. And therefore, when the apostle writes, "I can do all things," he refers to an ability to do all things spiritually in a way that is pleasing to God. When you and I join in this confession, therefore, we say that in whatever circumstances, we are able to carry out the calling that God gives us in a way honorable to him. Able, mind you. That's a bold statement, especially in the light of the fact that Scripture speaks so frequently of our inability. But the text does not merely say, "I do these things through Christ," but emphatically, "I am able to do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." And the implication, of course, is that this ability does not lie dormant, but it comes to expression in the doing. How do you do, beloved? That's the question for you and me in this applicatory sermon. Are you able, for example, in your prosperity, to be thankful to God and to make all things subservient to your salvation and the salvation of your brothers and sisters in Christ? It's a tremendously difficult thing not to lose your spiritual perspective in prosperity. The apostle says, "I have learned to abound." Have you learned to abound? That is, are you able to serve God in your abounding? How do you do? Are you able to make all things subservient to God and to his kingdom? The bold confession of the apostle is, "I'm able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me." When this is your confession, the meaning is that in the midst of suffering, for example, you are able to say, "I'm able to rejoice in tribulation," to keep a balanced spiritual perspective, knowing that the trying of my faith worketh patience, and that the trial of my faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be than gold that is tried by fire, will be found unto the praise and glory of God. I know that. That's what the apostle means. In prosperity and adversity, in health and sickness, in hunger and in abundance, in peace and conflict, I am able to make all things subservient to God's kingdom and to God's glory. That's an incredible power. The child of this world cannot say in this sense, "I can do all things." He doesn't have an inkling of understanding how to abound or to be hungry to the glory of God. And because you and I are children of this world by nature, this is a bold confession indeed. Bear in mind, Paul wrote this epistle while in prison in Rome. And sometime near the end of his imprisonment. Although he had been given some freedom as a prisoner, he's still viewed as a missionary of that sect that had broken off from the hated Jews. Within a couple years, the Emperor Nero would begin to round up confessing Christians and put them to death in the Colosseum for the entertainment of the Roman citizens. You can hear the persecutors even questioning the mind of the apostle. How can you possibly believe this stuff? And Paul faced that opposition with the background of having suffered persecution repeatedly. The indication in the first chapter of this epistle is that Paul himself anticipated quite possibly being put to death. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, is a reference here to an ability that even applies to death, mind you. Paul knew that even in the face of death, he could lay hold of Christ. Actively, by faith, entering the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that beautiful? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul already pointed to that truth when he said in the first chapter, whether I live or die, it will be my gain. Because God will be glorified in my living or my dying. Still more, because this confession belongs to our calling to serve our Redeemer, it applies also to our inward struggles with the old man of sin. There is no sin that you cannot overcome when you belong to Christ. You must understand that. If you are inclined to be quick-tempered, given to an ungodly expression of anger, and you've struggled against it and you seem to have failed to overcome it, don't say, I cannot. You can do all things, but only through Christ who strengthens you, us. If you have been ensnared in sexual sin, the viewing of pornography with its powerfully addictive character, you are able to repent and turn from that sin through Christ who strengthens you. If your weakness is your mouth, and you are given to gossip and quick to speak in violation of the Bible's command to be swift to hear, slow to speak, you are able to conform to Proverbs 15, verse 2, for example. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but only through Christ who strengthens us. You get the point. Apply it to yourself and the particular sin struggles that you face. Your calling is to walk in faithful obedience to our loving Heavenly Father, honoring His name, thinking of His great mercy towards us. You must say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Remember, to Christ, Satan is a chained enemy. He's conquered. We make this confession as those who are in Christ. Yes, it's a bold confession. but not proud. Always the apostle casts his crown before the feet of the Savior. We read, for example, in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, he writes to his spiritual son Timothy, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me." This incredible ability is not something that belongs to our very being. We're not born with this. It's not something natural. But it comes from an inexhaustible source. The language of the inspired apostle, we must observe, clearly implies the acknowledgement of personal inability. It's striking that the word "can" in our version, this word which speaks of ability, almost exclusively in biblical usage has a negative attached to it. With a good concordance, you can check it out. The Greek word is most often used with a negative, not able. Ability, in the sense of which Paul speaks of it here, ability to do any spiritual good before God's face and to honor and to praise him, such ability is ascribed to God himself and to God alone. We read in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever." It's important that we understand that. The language of the apostle in the text before us expresses personal inability. That inability is not just an inability that belongs to the natural man, but to the Christian. That truth is clearly expressed elsewhere in Scripture. In Romans 7, the regenerated child of God speaks so true to our own experience as Christians. Romans 7, verse 18, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." In other words, the will to do good is there, but I find not the ability in my flesh to accomplish what I will. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But then Paul doesn't stop there. Listen, he immediately says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Naturally powerless, lacking ability in ourselves, we who believe in Christ find in him the resurrection and the life. We've noticed that this is a bold confession. But if the words ended with "all things," "I can do all things," there would be absolutely no comfort for me, and there is no way that I could make the confession. The apostle points to Christ as the inexhaustible source of all ability, all strength to fulfill our callings before the face of God and to his glory. Literally, we read here, I am able to do all things in Christ who infuses me with his power. I can do all things, but only as I am in Christ. That's true of the entire church as the body of Christ and to every member of that body. Are you a Christian? Then this confession is yours. I am in Christ. Let's confess that, shall we? Let's follow up on what we confessed in partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning. I'm in Christ. That is a confession of faith that arises out of our spiritual knowledge and confidence, out of faith. It's to say, I know that I am implanted into Christ by a true and living faith so that I'm one plant with him. He being the vine, we being the branches. That's what we confessed in partaking of the Lord's Supper. All power, all ability to serve God is in Christ, who strengthens us. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So Paul writes in Galatians 2, verse 20, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The eternal Son of God in our nature is for us the inexhaustible source of our ability to do all to the glory of God. So the apostle was not merely content to bear imprisonment and poverty, but would most gladly glory in his infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon him, for when he was weak, then he was strong through Christ, who said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. But this bold confession of being attached to an inexhaustible source of strength is a personal confession. This is a matter of the apostle's own personal spiritual experience. Do you find that so for yourself? Do you find as your daily experience that you are able to carry out your calling and various callings in the knowledge that you are in Christ and that he is your life? When you face those powerful temptations, do you cling to Christ? Do not be mistaken, as so many seem to be today. Christ does not give us that power and tell us to go and see what we can do for him. He doesn't instill a certain amount of ability in us only to let us go and see what we will use from it. It's important to note that the text does not say, I can do all things through Christ who has strengthened me. No, we are grafted into Christ. We become one plant with him, continually drawing from him the strength for our duties, even as the branch draws its life out of the vine and receives its nourishment continuously from that vine. And we speak, of course, of the work of the Holy Spirit. If we separate ourselves from that vine, it's impossible to carry out our callings to the glory of God, whether that be as office bearers, as husbands, as wives, or in the workplace, or as Christians facing the trials that we must bear. If we separate ourselves from the vine, from Christ, the inability to live to God's glory will only result in greater and more devastating misery and alienation from God and from each other. Our strength is only in Christ. That's the importance of consistently and persistently coming to Him, being fed by Him, being faithful in our devotional life, and in hearing and in applying to our own lives that word that we hear preached to us. Implied in this confession of Christ as the source of our ability to live to God's glory is also the calling that we live out of Christ as far as our own ability is concerned. Our own activity, rather. You see, people of God, when it comes to our spiritual strength, God is pleased to give it to us as we empty ourselves in repentance and draw it from Him by faith. He calls us to humble ourselves and to draw near to Him. We have to see that we are empty in ourselves. God would have us realize that. We're never going to overcome a problem without understanding that. Being empty in ourselves, we draw from Christ. That's why it's often in our circumstances when we feel our own weakness, our own inability, that the Savior's glory is seen, who lives in us and whose strength is revealed in us. That's also why the apostle would glory in tribulation. In Christ alone must be your strength, not in you. And therefore, in Christ's place and as His mouthpiece, I exhort you to draw near to Christ. To draw near to Christ, to draw your strength from Him, that's not something sentimental. That's not to launch into an emotional high. To draw near to Christ means to draw near to the Christ of the Scriptures. To draw near to Christ means that you drink in the words that He speaks to you through the preaching of His Word. It also means you draw near to His Word. So the apostle speaks of the Bible as the power of godliness. And that doesn't mean that you happen to have a Bible in a particular place in your house or in your bedroom. It means you search it. Scripture shows us that the man is blessed and stands strong who lives near to the Word of God and who prays. Willpower won't cut it. Not in the great battle that we're involved in. The victory comes to the one who wields the weapon of prayer, laying hold of Christ, in whom alone we have the victory. Jesus exhorts us in John 15, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. For without me ye can do nothing, he adds. In God, through Jesus Christ, we have an inexhaustible source of power so that we're able to do all things. That's a blessed experience. Let's not forget that we have here a personal confession. This isn't merely a doctrinal statement that the Christian can do all things in Christ. That statement itself is true, but that's not the text. The apostle makes a personal confession of faith with the understanding that this is to be your confession and mine. Paul says, I know by experience. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, don't forget, he wrote that from prison. I can do all things. That had been his experience in the past. He had seen the insides of jails and of prisons, as well as knowing freedom. He had experienced the joys of seeing the thrilled faces of eager hearers of the gospel as he preached and watched the power of the Holy Spirit at work in gathering the church. And he had also been rejected and persecuted severely. He had suffered hunger, and he had tasted abundance. We might say the apostle had experienced the whole gamut of human experience. And his experience had been that in Christ, he was continually empowered to do all things connected with his spiritual calling. He could say, as a matter of his own blessed experience, I am strong for all things in Christ, who infuses me with his strength. Is that salvation and strength in Christ also your blessed experience? Let this word of God be an encouragement to you who so painfully feel your own inability. I know so well the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. I can do all things in Christ. But it's not so that I always live in such a way that I can do all things. The question then is, are you, am I, consciously living in Christ? Being of his flesh and of his bone. The apostle writes in verse 11, I have learned. I have learned. So you and I have learned. But that learning doesn't cease. Frequently we learn. Frequently we learn in the way of difficult experience. How often don't we learn by experience that outside of Christ we can do nothing? And then have you not found, as I, that when I have so learned that apart from Christ I can do nothing, that Christ fills me with his power? And we learn both to be humbled and to abound. To be full and maybe to be hungry, to live, yes, even to die. A blessed experience is our basis for this confession, because we lay hold of Christ by faith. There are reasons for saying this is a blessed experience. In the first place, in the way of this experience, in this confession, you and I are filled with a peace that passes all understanding. Because this experience of knowing that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, is the knowledge of knowing that he is powerful to give us what we need for the particular situation in which he has placed us. He's powerful to strengthen us to fulfill our calling to the glory of our faithful God and Father. If we look at the world in these times which point to increasing apostasy and trouble for the church, which point to increasing tribulation for all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, when we see how Satan has made inroads into the church and into our own families and lives, and consider the days are coming when Antichrist shall take the throne, we can easily fall into anxiety and worry with respect to the things of this life. But look at the same world and see the signs of Christ coming, not in the light of your own weakness, but in the light of this inexhaustible source of power by which you are able to do all things, and you will have peace in your soul. Live close to Christ, beloved. Finally, this is a blessed experience because it will indeed cause a shout of victory to overwhelm your soul and come to expression in your speech and in your life. The apostle could not contain himself. As we heard read in Romans 7, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, having experienced that we are able to do all things in Jesus Christ who strengthens us, we shall also say, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this day in which we could hear thy word and partake of the sacrament and see also the riches of belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that thou wilt give us thy grace daily to lay hold of Christ by faith and find in him our strength to do all things, to thy name's honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.